Welcome to Community Church's Sermon Podcast. We invite you to visit us online at www.ccfdl.org to learn more about our church and our ministry in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Community Church, I get to introduce our guest speaker for today. It's Dr. Daryl Jenkins, all the way from Faith Community Church in Carroll Stream, Illinois. He's been serving for 10 years as a senior pastor there. He's also our Perspectives speaker on Tuesday night. So we thought, let's get him in on a Sunday morning and have him bring the word to us. He and his wife, LaDawn, have been in ministry for over 25 years, and she's sitting over there. And so let's give them a very warm welcome, Dr. Daryl Jenkins.
Let me say what a great joy it is to be here on Palm Sunday. And let me also just ask you all if you can just, I'm doing a mic check, shout back Hosanna. Hosanna. Let me just thank the 10 people over there. Come on, somebody say Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Hosanna to the highest. What a great day it is to be able to share with each and every one of you. I want to begin by, first of all, just giving some acknowledgments to a few people that I have had a wonderful opportunity to meet and to share with. First of all, give it up for your pastor, Pastor Adam. Come on, put your hands together for him. And also, Jill, we certainly appreciate and thank God for this family. To those who have offered hospitality to my wife and I, certainly I would be remiss if I did not thank Doug and Bernie for their great hospitality. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. And to Liz, thank you for making sure I stay on top of things. I appreciate you. Listen, I am going to exercise 3 B's. My wife, who is traveling with me, thank you so much, sweetheart, for being on this journey. I have often said it's easier to preach about heaven when you know that God has blessed you with an angel on your side. So come on and give it up for my wife. Amen. Somebody said, oh, you must like the way I said that. So listen, I won't be before you long. I've learned over the years to exercise 3 B's. Many of you possibly have heard this. If not, I want to be brief, I want to be bright, and I want to be seated. Okay. Those are my 3 B's. Those are my 3 B's. There's a 4th B. If you be brief, you be bright, and you be seated, you may be back. For the time that is ours to share, I want to consider the word usefulness. Usefulness. This being Palm Sunday, we know that on this day, that Jesus dispatched his disciples. And before he makes his entry, the journey to the cross, he gives them instructions to go and seek a colt, a donkey. And in so doing, they are to untie this donkey that was tied up, tangled up, if you will, to a post at a location that Jesus knows before he even goes there. Before he travels there, he gives instructions to the 2 disciples. Now, what's beautiful about this, no one really has the names. That's a good place for us to place our name. That as disciples and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has a need for each and every one of us. And the Lord has a need for you. And here in the text, I'm looking at Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 28 through 31, that I'd like to share with you on this morning as recorded in the sacred pages of the New Testament. On this Palm Sunday, Luke 19, 28, 31, it says, after Jesus had said this, he went ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, his owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. If anyone asks you, "Why are you untying it?" say, "The Lord needs it." The time that is ours to share, I want to preach and teach with this thought in mind: the Lord has need of you. Back at my home church, I would try to get some early engagement. So I'll try to do it now. Look at somebody on your left, look at somebody on your right, and say, "The Lord has need of you." Now it looks like, it sounds like maybe you didn't find the right person. I want you to say it like you're convinced. Say it like you're convinced. The Lord has need of you. Everyone was traveling to Jerusalem for the Passover, a time to remember, a time, yes, to celebrate, a time to commemorate Israel's deliverance from Egypt, freed by God from captivity, freed by God to be used by God. The people heard that Jesus, hallelujah, was coming. And that's one of the reasons why we shout on Palm Sunday, one of the reasons why we say, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And as they were looking at this particular movement of Jesus coming to Jerusalem, they were excited because the messianic promise was coming to pass. The messianic promise spoken in Zechariah 9:9, more than 500 years before it happened, it was being fulfilled before their eyes. The text says, Jesus went ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, what catches my attention right away, Jesus said, "I see something that I need." In this world where 7.6 billion people alive on this planet, so number that is difficult for us to fathom. But isn't it good to know, my sisters and yes, my brothers, that God's eyes are on you? His love is not just for those who have it all together. His love is not just for the homeless, but his love is for the person sleeping on the sidewalk, the person, the woman who is struggling with depression, the child left home with parents working to make ends meet. Jesus is committed and Jesus sees each and every one of us. Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find it. Here's my question: where did God find you? What town, what city, where were you when the Lord looked in your direction and found you? He tells his disciples to do something. He reminds them that I have an assignment, a useful assignment for you to fulfill. Usefulness speaks to practical worth of something. And at times we dismiss the donkey. But I'm here to tell you that a donkey, even with his floppy ears, a donkey, even at times that can be stubborn, a donkey is seen by the Lord to be useful to accomplish his greater kingdom work. It offers the benefit that not only is a donkey providing for the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm here to tell you today that God is using each and every one of us. Certainly, we're not donkeys. But when you look at the text, it helps us to understand three movements in the text. The Lord has need of you. Why? The first one is to transport his word. Let me hear you say that. To transport his word. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter verses 7 through 9 says it this way. God has placed treasures in jars of clay. Each and every one of us has received, I would like to say, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of us, clay jars, to show the surpassing power that belongs to God, not us. Isn't that good news? That God has looked in your direction and placed his Spirit on the inside of each and every one of us. That's one of the reasons why we don't say what we used to say. Go where we used to go. Perhaps do what we used to do. Why? Because of what? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it is the same Spirit that God would like for each and every one of us to use to transport his word. Proverbs 3:5 says it this way. Transporting the word means trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will do what? Direct a path. Psalm 34:18, speaking about transporting the word. Anybody need to be reminded that the Lord is near you? Somebody ever been brokenhearted? Anyone ever been despondent, depressed, distressed? Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord has need of you to transport his word to places where his word must be made known. My brothers and sisters, what zip code do you need to transport the word? Where is your Jerusalem? Where are you being used? Is it at work? Is it at the community center? Is it within your home? Where are you willing to transport the word? This is one of the reasons why I love Acts, the first chapter, verses 8, which says, but you will receive power when you receive the what? The Holy Spirit, which comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem. In Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's your zip code. Where is your Jerusalem? Where are you being used to transport that God has already placed within you? But secondly, to meet the needs of others is what the Holy Spirit has given me to share with you on this journey to the cross. To meet the needs of others, Hebrews 13:16 says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. We all have a need, is that right? Addressing these needs can take various forms, from volunteering at local shelters and food banks. God is looking for someone to be used in this world. God is looking for someone to be his hands as well as his feet, to reach men and women, boys and girls, with his love. And allow me to pose this question to each and every one of you. Are there ropes? Is there something that is tying you, that is preventing you and keeping you from being used by God to meet the needs of others? Have you accepted the lie or the argument that life is over and there is nothing left? There's so much more, my beloved, that God is calling us to be used for. Do you wonder where to start? Do thoughts of starting at times overwhelm you? Jesus knows this, and he is saying, I am coming by to untie something that is holding us back from doing greater kingdom work, to break every yoke and to declare to you that your life, hallelujah, is not over. There is still much to be done. Somebody ought to be able to say amen to that. The Lord has a need of you. He's in the business, hallelujah, of untying donkeys. He's in the business of releasing and breaking people from those things which have held us and hold us back. Somebody ought to be able to thank God that you have been untied from alcoholism. Somebody may be able to say, I have been in sin, but I was in darkness, but thanks be to God, I was in darkness, but isn't it good to know that God has taken somebody out of the darkness and brought them into the marvelous light? I wish I had at least 12 people that can give God praise for untying you from something that you have been holding on to or something that has been holding you back, and now you can declare, Hosanna. He's released me from something, or yes, maybe someone that was holding you back. My friend, the master is waiting for you. And the time is for us to flourish as the people of God to do greater kingdom work. That's one of the reasons why I love this next movement. We all need the Lord. Let me say that again. We all need the Lord. Three times a charm. I said, we all need the Lord. Amen. Do I have any witnesses here? It's one of the reasons why I love the song, I Need Thee, Oh. I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Here's my closing point. Just as the Lord needed the donkey, the Lord needs you, and he needs me. And the beautiful thing about the Lord needing us, the Bible says that when they brought the donkey to him, he sat on it. And at times we need the Holy Spirit to sit on us. And when we sit, when the Holy Spirit sits on us, he begins to guide us, leading us, directing us. And I am coming today to ask the Holy Spirit to sit on us, guide us, direct us, take us in new territories that we will be able to accomplish greater kingdom work, that he will be glorified And the enemy will be horrified. Because when we let, in the words of the old song, ride on King Jesus, no man can hinder me. Ride on King Jesus, no man can hinder me. In that great getting up morning, fairly well, fairly well. Ride on King Jesus. Thank you for releasing us. Thank you for untying us. Thank you for delivering us from something. Thank you for the triumphant entry that you made in each and every one of our lives, that we may see that there is a reality in serving a living God, a risen Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Somebody looking in this direction ought to be glad that Jesus entered into your life, and what a change has taken place since the Lord Jesus came into your situation, into your circumstances, and now you're allowing, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit to just rest on you. And on a day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit rests on the people. And they were able to begin to do even greater and unimaginable work. Why? Because the Holy Spirit not only lives in us to transport the word, but the word of God reminds us that the Holy Spirit needs us to meet the needs of others. And we cannot go through this life, and they just sung it. They sang the song. We would be lost without the Lord. And I'm so grateful that the Lord showed up and showed out in my life. I don't know how he showed up in your life. But I'm glad I'm no longer closed up, tied up, and tangled up. But I've been untied. I've been freed. And who the Son has set free is free indeed. Is that anyone's testimony that you have now been able to do some things exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine because Jesus stepped into your life? And when he steps into your life, I stop by to remind somebody, watch out. He's going to do some great work through you. You're going to show up and you're going to be at the airport sitting next to somebody on the airplane. And the Lord will use you right there. You may go to the hospital, not sure what to say, looking over the bed of someone who's sick and shut in. Anybody ever been there before? And the Lord will give you some words, hallelujah, to look in the direction to encourage somebody, to remind them that even though they're sick, we serve a God who's Jehovah Rapha, the one who is a healer. Anybody ever been in a situation speaking to a lost or wayward child, and they've come to you and they've asked for some guidance, some direction, and you know for yourself that you've been there where they are, but the Holy Spirit will use you because he needs you to make sure that the next generation is able to see that there is a reality in serving a true and a living God. We must remember that all of us have a need. And our greatest need is to need the Holy Spirit to use us in a way that his will, his purpose can be accomplished for greater good for all of society. I'm praying that this church, as the musicians come, I'm praying that this church, they told me I think I had 40 minutes, but I said I'm going to exercise three B's. I'm going to be brief, be bright, and be seated. Because I really want us to understand that Palm Sunday is a time for us to not only raise our hands for the Lord who's come into our life, But notice the palms. We're not waving palms in some traditional setting. But the Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your hands and begin to just praise God for how he's blessed you, how he's kept you, how he's watched over you, how he's made a way for you, how he's opened doors for you, how he's healed somebody in this room, how he's come into your situation. And somebody knows what it means to be delivered by the King of Kings, because you too has at one point been tied up. But God starts to untie us from whatever was holding us. My brother shared with me, he said, I'm retiring. And I'm so proud of my brother. He says, I'm moving and we're going to live in Texas. And when he said that emotionally, I was like, that's my brother, he's leaving. But what really blessed me was when my brother said, I feel as though for years I've been tied with one company. And now I'm free. But what also blessed me, he has a wonderful dog by the name of Cody. He has a dog and he says, I let Cody out. Cody. And he said, Cody was on a leash, strapped up. And he said that as Cody went around, Cody couldn't go far. Many of you have a dog. But listen, when you took the leash off your dog, what happened? They roam freely because they're no longer tied. That's my message for somebody today. God has come to untie you, to release you, not for you to stay inside the walls of the church, but to be the church outside of the wall. And I don't know if my time is up. Is it? Can somebody give me some water? I'm feeling led to ask this question. What has been tying you? What do you want to be released from? One word. What is it that you want to be freed from? Somebody shout one out. Anger. Keep it coming. Anxiety. Depression. Pride. Keep it coming. Fear. Keep it coming. Addiction, annoyance, keep it coming. Anybody else? Keep it coming. And if you don't want to say, God knows what you need to be released from. Amen. And I stopped by today. It's a bit different than how I normally would teach and preach. But I'm sensing that somebody needed to hear that God has come to untie you. He no longer wants you to be tangled up. God has greater for his church universal. And I'm so excited about what God is doing in and through Community Church. To be the kingdom builders, the transforming agents that recognize the words of Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. Coming in on Palm Sunday, it was a conformist setting. And Jesus came riding in to stir things up. To make sure that He came in as a transforming agent, dispatched by the King of Kings, the one who loved the world so much, God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Isn't that good news? That whoever believeth upon Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's what it means to be untied. That's what it means to be delivered. That's what it means to have strongholds broken, because we have all been tied. And as you leave this place today, make sure you leave knowing that I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free. And I'm free, and I want to hear what You, God, have to say to me. Use me, Lord, for Your purpose and for Your glory. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. Can you help me say it again? I need Thee, oh. Come on, help me say it. Let me hear you, church. Stand to your feet. Every hour. Come on, what you need the Lord for? Oh, bless me now. Touch somebody by the hand. As the musicians are playing softly, Spirit of the living God, we need You. And like the untied donkey in the story of the gospel of Luke and Matthew, one of the hardest things for us to come to grips with, dear God, is that we all need You. Somebody in this room, dear God, is holding hand with someone that has spoken in the atmosphere what they are grateful that they have been liberated from. Someone is still holding on to something. And God, in the name of Jesus, right now, we're praying that You will loose the shackles right now, oh God. We honor You, Lord, and we praise You, Lord. We adore You, Lord, and we worship You, God. Thank You for the miracle working power that has untied us all. God, we pray for this church, the pastoral leadership, the elders, the community in which you have released them to be able to make a transformative difference. And God, as we're holding the hand with the person that we're standing next to, we press power and victory in that hand. We press healing in that hand. We press joy in that hand. We press salvation in that hand. And God, we press not only in their hands, but we press forward to be in your divine glory. Thank you for the awesome and the amazing way that you time our encounters, not only with you, but with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.